Hey everyone, this is Super Metal World. I'm Michael.
And I am Ty.
This week we have an interview featuring Wills Weller. He is the drummer of New Jersey-based Tooth Grinder. We had a long chat with him. Well, you had a long chat with him, and it was really great. Seems like a super, super cool guy.
Yeah, I think you guys will really like it. He is very insightful. He's relaxed and candid, and that's like, that always makes for the best interviews when people are just like, it's almost like they just came into your house, sat on your couch, and they're like, all right,
just chilling.
Let's talk about the world. And that's what we've always wanted this podcast to be, is a very non-formal, you know, we don't like radio interviews because we don't think you get a lot out of them.
Right.
And even some of the interviews that like you hear on Loudwire or et cetera, where they're like on YouTube and it's like a 10-minute interview, I just feel like, yeah, you get like the brass tacks. And
they're
like
pretty sterile.
Yeah, you get the facts, but you don't get to learn about that person.
Right.
So anyway, one little spoiler, you get to learn about Will's name, which I think is Will's name. Wills is his name.
Wills
is his name. Ah, I didn't even think of that.
He is Wills Weller.
Yes.
When something is possessive, it is Wills's.
Well, it would be Ty's microphone right now.
Right.
So wouldn't it be Wills's drums or something?
Wills's?
I don't know. We need somebody who knows more about grammar and English.
You just hold out the S. Wills.
True. Maybe it's a long hold on the S. anyway, happy to be back. You guys didn't notice we were gone because we still released a podcast episode, but we were in Wisconsin. In Cadott, Wisconsin for Rockfest, and it was a blast. We got to see Trivium, which been dying to see them for a long time, one of our favorite bands. And yep. Tooth Grinder actually did a tour with Trivium this year. The fest is always pretty great. This year was their 25th anniversary, and I don't think the lineup was as strong as last year by any means.
I would agree, but...
But it's still a good time.
Yeah, well, let's just not forget that the lineup last year, there was Slayer,
Anthrax,
Megadeth, Anthrax,
Avenged Sevenfold,
Lamb of God,
Korn,
Avenged Sevenfold. Yeah, it was
really solid for us last year.
Really solid for us.
Yeah, it was like
as far as like metal.
It was more on the metal fest than it was rock fest.
Yeah, I would agree.
Whereas this year was more rock fest. But we did get to see a couple. We got to see Beartooth. They got their set cut off early, and actually that kind of went a little bit viral on the internet. Because basically what happened is there was a thunder, lightning, rain delay that occurred, and Beartooth had to come on late. And I think there was maybe some confusion. They were going to play Hated, their biggest song, as their finale. Why am I their closer? but they were cutting into the main stage's time because they were on the side stage. So basically,
I think Rise Against was up on the main stage, right?
Yep. So Rise Against was up next, and basically they cut his audio, and then they cut like a lot of the instruments too.
Yeah, you could just hear the drums,
so
just like the acoustic
drums. But then everybody started singing.
That was cool,
word for word, and that was a really cool moment. Actually, turned out to be more special maybe than if they would have actually finished it. Beartooth was fun. We saw Trivium, like I just said. Saw Disturbed for the first time. I thought they did really good live.
Yeah,
they were like. They were great. They deserve to be a headliner, I guess.
Impressively, like, accurate.
And Draymond is excellent.
Oh, he's so good.
And he's very proper. Like, I didn't expect him to be so much like a serious Jack Black. Like, he acts like Jack Black, but he's serious.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a little tongue-in-cheek with what he's saying.
Yeah.
But he'd be like, you know, my friends. You know, like, he's just very proper. And if you listen to, because another thing that happened at Rockfest that got put on YouTube was... they did a tribute to Vinnie Paul, and they performed the song Walk, which I thought was awesome. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
And they performed a flawless cover. But if you go look on YouTube, he talks about meeting Pantera or going back to their dressing room or whatever after shows at Ozfest.
Like really, really early in the life of Disturbed.
And if you listen to him talk and the way he carries himself, that's kind of how he carried himself throughout the entire show. And it's not like, I'm not making fun of him. I thought it was awesome. I thought he carried himself like in a really cool and metal way.
Oh yeah.
Know, like he was just like, he's like a metal god up there.
Basically.
And
in his That's not a trench coat.
He was pretty much in a trench coat, kind of.
It's like this pea coat, but long and trenchy. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was great.
And black. And dude can sing. He's phenomenal. And I was really impressed with the guitarist as well, because there's only one of him.
There's only one. I did not realize that.
And he kills it. Like, he nailed every solo. Like, didn't slip up. It was clean. He nailed Dime's solo and walk. I mean, very impressive. And of course, we know Disturbed is a big band and everything, but to actually see them live and see them like pull it off live is very cool. So I would recommend, if you've never seen Disturbed live, go see them.
Yep.
We also saw Godsmack. Godsmack was also great. I personally don't think they have the extensive catalog like Disturbed does, but I think their catalog is still strong enough to warrant being a headliner.
Yep. And it's a good live show, because they have like the bit in the middle where Sully gets on the drums. They like bring out a completely like separate drum kit, and they're like drumming the same stuff.
Yeah,
and trading like drum solos on and off. I didn't realize
Sully's the man. I mean, we were talking about, like, because we're trying to think of how Bad Religion sounded compared to like a different song, and we're just talking about how he loves like that open chord, like dan 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 dan. Get back, bam bam. It's like, but it's like, what song is that? I don't know.
It was some just point at a Godsmack song, and that's
then another will be like
correct.
Dan 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 dan. I don't know. Whatever. He makes it work, and all the songs don't sound the same.
No,
you know, like. Somehow him playing that open chord, he's able to do it in such a way where you're like, you know, when you hear the song live, I'm like, okay, this is going to be, I don't know, straight out of line or something. But anyway, they did a really good job. For some reason, Incubus headlined. I mean, no offense to Incubus fans. I mean, there's no way Incubus fans listen to this podcast. But they headlined the first night, and it was so
that
lame.
Was bizarre.
It was
interesting choice. Maybe there's something that I missed.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we missed the Incubus train. I don't like to hate on another band.
No.
They're not bad or anything. I just thought it was interesting to have them headline that night. Let's just put it that way. Is there any other, like, strictly... Attila played.
Attila.
They played really early. I thought they did well. They're kind of like that rap metal...
Yeah, they're like...
Kind of post-new metal band.
Yeah, but I feel like they... What's the like Hollywood Undead? But I feel like they're definitely more metal than Hollywood. Like,
because
they get pretty damn heavy.
But he, like, you know, he spits it.
Yeah.
But he also screams. He's a good vocalist.
He was I think that day when they were up on set, it must have been 85, 90 degrees and sunny that day. He was in like tight black jeans. He was wearing sneakers. He had like a freaking black sweatshirt on. And a hat and sunglasses, and he's up there just fine.
Yeah, and it must be because they're from Atlanta, Georgia or something, because we were all dying. Like, Michael and I literally didn't go to Under Oath because we just needed to be in the shade, and we had like massive headaches. I mean, we're drinking a lot anyway and all that stuff, but like, there was just a couple shows. Like, we went and saw Nothing More, and it was a great show, but I didn't enjoy it as much because I was so hot. And people, we are not living like large when we go to this festival. We are in tents, and we have canopies and stuff. But like, it's not the Ritz.
Nah, you gotta just stay outside and try to keep cool.
The heat wakes you up. The heat is what woke me up every morning. Like, I didn't need an alarm clock. It was like, I am dying in this tent. If I don't get out of it, I'm going to die.
It's a good thing our bodies are so well tuned for.
Yeah, and then you try to eat bad enough that you like. Clog yourself up so you don't have to use the port-a-john or whatever, you know, or use it as little as you can. It's inevitability. You have to use it.
Yeah.
But we're thinking one year that we might, maybe hopefully next year, that we're actually going to drive a camper up there and maybe just like not have to brave the elements as much. Cause Michael and I are definitely there for the music. And we have friends there that are there for the party, which is fine. Nothing against that at all. But next year, we're hoping to get press passes.
That would be sick.
So we can maybe give you guys some better coverage or come back with some interviews or something like that. Another thing, a band I don't want to forget about is OTEP. They killed it. I don't listen to a lot of OTEP, but I started listening to them now.
Yes.
She destroyed it. They had a part where she brought out like this pig head.
Yep.
And that scared me.
That was terrifying.
like, it was awesome, but it was scary. It was like very graphic. And she also had Donald Trump's head on a pike.
Yep.
And
they're very political.
Yes.
Very political band.
Very left wing political. Also, their guitarist is jacked.
Yep. Definitely.
He looks like a Spartan.
He wears like the Spartan.
He wears a Spartan helmet
that has a gas mask thing on it. Yeah. And he looks like Bane.
Yeah, he's jacked. He's legitimately jacked. At first, he looked so jacked, he didn't look real. When I first,
right?
Is he airbrushed? Like, did they airbrush this motherfucker? But like, Otep herself, because that's her name. I didn't know her name is Otep.
Yeah, that's
she's
name.
Also in very good shape.
Yeah, she's definitely like bodybuilder level.
Mm-hmm. Gore, I saw Gore for the first time. Was that your first time seeing Gore? I liked them. I liked them a lot. A lot of sprayed blood. They also had Donald Trump come out. And they ripped his chest off, and he poured blood out of his abdomen, basically. Or maybe it wasn't his abdomen; it was his rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. And their lead singer just rocks with two dicks out the whole show.
Yeah,
like he has two
like a
not a real dick, obviously.
Yeah, just like a shield in front of his crotch.
Yeah,
with like these two dicks that stick out, and eventually towards the end of the show, it sprays like blue
semen basically out of his dick.
Yeah,
onto the crowd, and he was like jerking it in one song too.
It was great
His fake dick.
Gore is amazing.
I was laughing my ass off. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? They were a lot of fun. Last year we went to Rockfest and we were really pleasantly surprised by Insane Clown Posse. Like, they blew our minds.
You might be surprised by that, but yeah. Insane Clown Posse is...
Kills it live.
They're great live.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I would go to another ICP show. There wasn't a band like that this year that really surprised... Like, we did have a lot of fun still, but there wasn't a band that was like such low expectations and then blew our mind.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but I mean, it's going to change fest to fest, so... Anyway, there's a little blurb on Rockfest for you guys. It's been a while since we've just strictly talked. There's been a lot of interviews, which we love because we love to hear from these bands. But
yeah, it's fun to talk to you.
Anyway, so remember that you can find us on all social media. Search Super Metal World. You can find us on iTunes and pretty much stream us anywhere. Rate and review on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening if you've continued to listen to us. And please recommend it to a friend. Have them go like us on all our social media and spread it around. If you spread it around, it spreads the word, and that's always a good thing. And if you're a new listener, thanks for taking the time to listen to us, and we hope you continue to listen to us. You won't regret it. We have a lot of passion for this, and it's not our full-time gig. We weren't in a big band previously, and now here we are doing a podcast. This is legitimately from the ground up. And go check out our website, supermodelworld.com. We put a lot of work into the website every day. Me, Michael, and our manager bicker at each other about how the website should look, but it's for good reason, and I think it's continuing to shape up.
To grow our like back catalog of... Not even back catalog, I guess, but just like continuing to grow the amount of content that's available too.
Yes. Because we're also going to, or we also have been featuring more articles and blogs and features, written material, not just the podcast. That being said, Toothgrinder is a great fucking band, and this was a great fucking interview. You can find Toothgrinder very easily. They're on all social media. Just search Toothgrinder. It's a very unique name. So they're going to be the first thing that pops up. You can find them on YouTube. I really love this band. I had featured this band way back, probably on one of our first episodes. I featured either Red or Phantom Amour, I can't remember which, as like the new song of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really unique, and when you listen to Will's talk, I think you'll agree with me that this is a band that has their head on straight.
Horns high.
Horns high. Welcoming to Super Metal World Podcast, we got Wills Weller. He bangs the drums for Toothgrinder. How you doing, Wills?
Very well. How's it going, my friend?
Not bad at all. Not bad for a Wednesday. It was funny when our manager was talking to us. He's like, his name is, it's not Will. It's not, I think he said another thing.
Willis?
It's not yeah. Willis, it's Willis.
Willis. Oh, dude, Willis all the time. I always get that.
Is there a story yeah. behind that or a reason your parents were like, we're going with Wills, plural Wills?
Well, actually, all right, so my birth certificate name is William Sinclair Sutherland Weller.
Oh, my god.
Kind of long, kind of yeah. drawn out.
Yeah.
It's like a big wooden ship or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've been called Wills my whole life. Just short, sweet, plural, but singular.
Yeah, right. No, I dig it. It kind of sounds yeah. Like colonial, like Southern, your full name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we're Scottish.
Ah.
So, well, part Scottish.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's where the Sinclair Sutherland comes from.
Awesome. I dig it.
Yeah.
So, Tooth Grinder, you guys, I looked this, some of the stuff I looked up on Wikipedia, which you can't always trust. Were you really formed in 2010?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, we all went to high school together. Besides John Yule, he's a little bit newer of an addition to the band.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, we all grew up together playing baseball, football, skateboarding, you know, doing growing up stuff.
Yeah, right.
Went to high school. We're in different bands, and those bands kind of played together. It shows this and that, and then we all kind of went off to college. We still wanted to play music because – clearly that's our passion.
Yeah.
And we were just like, yeah, like whatever, we'll jam, we'll play a couple songs in the summer on breaks, and dude, we just kept going and it got pretty serious.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Now it's like your full-time gig.
Yeah, so it's awesome, man. It's super fun to still be able to write songs with, I mean, just like friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So how old were you guys when you started?
I guess I was 18, okay. 10 years ago, because I'm 28. Yeah, so I was like 18.
Okay. And you guys have had, I know your first LP was 2016, that was Nocturnal Masquerade. Before that, you guys released a couple extended plays. How many EPs did you have before your actual official release?
We had two, because the third EP, Spine Farm picked up and put out. So we had two like self-released DIY
okay, sure.
Releases.
Are those
which were insane? There, the first one, each song was like 10 minutes long.
Oh my gosh.
And then the second one, it was 17 and a half minutes long, broken into three parts.
Yeah.
But we're just like, I don't know, getting super weird.
So even at that time when you were releasing, you know, these lengthy EPs and stuff, were you still kind of gathering steam, you know, like, Were things picking up, or what was the moment when you guys kind of got noticed, I guess?
After the second EP, like the really long song, you know, we started really playing a lot of shows. And that's when everyone was kind of settling down from college, like almost done or done. So we could kind of go a little more full force into the band. Yeah, we just started playing shows more out of state.
Sure.
Which is always super difficult because five people's work schedules and life schedules, you know,
definitely.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Especially in a beginning stage of a band, you know, like you're driving to Virginia Beach 8 hours overnight to play some tiny bar to 16 people. And it's like, is this really cool? Or like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
So it's, like, obviously those are hurdles you just have to go through.
Definitely.
But no, I mean, everyone stuck together. We powered through it, and just the love of obviously writing music. And you hear that from everybody, but it's true, you know, like powers you through. And yeah, we started getting noticed after we were traveling out. We kind of showed a manager or a record label, like, we're not going to sit around and wait for them to help. We're just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, if you're into it, jump on the train and come with us kind of thing, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
I think that attitude kind of helped us, you know, get noticed a little bit. I don't want to say quicker because that's not the case, but I don't know.
And
like
you,
I said.
You guys are from New Jersey, going, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What was it like? What's the scene like in New Jersey?
It's good. It's very rich in its, you know, musical scene, all different kinds of music, not specifically metal.
Yeah.
But, you know, where we're from, not the strongest metal scene, although there's plenty of good metal bands.
Yeah.
There's not regular metal shows in our area. We have to more travel North Jersey, South Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, but New York, Philly, Delaware, Connecticut, Boston, those are so close to us. We're super lucky that really helped, obviously, in the beginning stage of the band, being able to, you know, shoot up to Connecticut, Boston, New York, and that's a weekend, and then go south, you know, Delaware, Virginia, whatever. That really helped us, you know, hit all those different markets in a weekend, come back, work a week, next weekend, do the same thing, go south, go west, go north, whatever.
Right. And those first...
That definitely helped. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Those first EPs you were talking about, would people that are fans now, would they recognize the band, or were you guys playing a lot different style of music back then?
It was a little more long. It was a little more drawn out, but it had all the same elements as a song that we would put out now. I don't know. We were just really... I feel like if you listen to those songs, you could go in and chop them up and make a full record, but back then we're just like, oh, dude, we'll just go this part into this part and
yeah,
you know, into that. But yeah, like from the music now, obviously, like I said, a little different, but there are bits and pieces and sonic qualities that you can be like, oh, okay, that's been the same carried throughout, you know, the progression of the band so far.
Right, right. So would you say they were more progressive in nature? I mean, I know you guys are kind of progressive anyway, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but even way more progressive, you know? Yeah, a lot of changes, and whether it be tempo or dynamic changes, just all over the place. And, you know, I feel like we do that now with a little more song structure,
yeah.
You know? We still throw the rule book out the window, and whatever sounds cool is cool, you know? I don't know. That's helped the band grow and have opportunities arise because we don't try and pigeonhole ourselves to be like, oh, well, they're a metal band, they're a hardcore band, it's like, nah, we have like an acoustic song and this super vibey electronic song and then a heavy riff metal song. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's all over.
Definitely.
But I like that. You know, we're all fans of different kinds of music. And I think that really, we let it shine in the albums, I think.
You should expand upon that a little bit. What are like some of Toothgrinder's like major influences?
I mean, it's crazy because it's all over the map, like from guy to guy in the band, you know, and I can only really speak for myself, but...
Oh, go ahead.
But the bands that we definitely share in common, I mean, Pink Floyd being huge.
I can see that.
But then Between the Buried and Me, obviously being a huge love, you know, of our band. Iron Maiden, James Brown, Black Flag, you know, the wacky and weird list goes on. Kiss, like Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Neil Young, my gosh, you know, and it's so funny because we all get together and listen to those songs and get inspired by different things. So like maybe Justin will write some lyrics that are coming from like a Neil Young perspective, and I'll like think of a drum beat that's kind of like a Radiohead vibe, and then Johnny will write something that, you know, geez, he's such a good guitar player, sounds like literally anything you could throw at him. You know, like whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool, and no one ever is like, oh, that's not heavy enough, or that's not
right,
whatever, that's not metal, that's it literally doesn't matter if it like kind of moves you and makes you feel good or kind of draws something out of you. We just go with that. That's so much more important, I think, nowadays to us more than, and I don't want to say we're moving away from the technical aspect of it, because there's always going to be that there. It's always got to be fun and interesting, but
yeah, right.
I think we're going more for like the groove and like how it makes you feel in a song.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. It's just a new area.
I mean, you're just kind of growing as songwriters, right? And
totally. Exactly.
It seems that you want to always kind of try to push the boundaries and try new things, not make the same record.
Totally, dude. You couldn't have said that better. You should. I'll just interview you.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'll talk about you guys.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I haven't asked you this question yet. So for those who don't know about Toothgrinder, we've mentioned some things already, but what would you tell them about Toothgrinder? What makes Toothgrinder unique from its peers?
you know, I think the originality of the band, of the sound, like I said before, we draw from all different aspects of music, and it all just pours out on the stage. It's really fun. You know, I think our live performance is great, which is even separate from our record, which is always kind of fun to see a band live, hear a band on record, and have two different experiences, all both positive, you know?
Right.
But yeah, definitely a fun live performance. I feel like it's a good connection, especially with the tours we've been on lately. You know, we're getting out there a little more in the world, and I really feel a connection on some of the songs. Like when people sing them back to us, like that's a crazy connection at a concert.
Oh, like, yeah, that's always cool.
It's a wild experience, you know. I've been a part of it on the, you know, the crowd side so many times that, you know, when it happens with the song that you wrote with your friends at home, it's like, whew, okay.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, you know, and that's just such a cool part about, you know, a live concert is that connection. And I feel like we're starting to get that more and more, and it's so special.
Didn't you tour with Trivium briefly?
Yes, we were just on tour with Bullet for My Valentine and Trivium, April 27th to May 27th, so full month.
Yeah, awesome.
It was pretty wild. That was such a crazy tour because it was with Trivium and Bullet, but then some of the dates were festivals. So we played four really awesome festivals. We played Rock on the Range, Carolina Rebellion, Welcome to Rockville, and Fort Rock.
Okay.
Like, Ozzy played two of them. Tool played Rock on the Range. That was insane. Never thought I'd get to, like, I have a poster of the festival, and it says Toothgrinder and Tool on it. Like,
that's
whoa,
pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. That, I did something cool once. That was pretty sweet.
Still waiting for that new album by Tool. Hopefully that comes
oh,
soon.
Oh, yeah, me too. Luckily, stopped holding my breath, which was good. So
yeah,
I feel a little better about myself, but yeah.
So do you get to, so you were with Trivium and Bullet.
Yeah.
Do you get to spend a lot of time with those guys, or is it just kind of one of those things where, you know, somebody in a managerial position reaches out to you and says, hey, will you open for these guys?
You know, yeah, it's interesting. Like, usually beforehand, it's kind of like an agent or a manager or a label talking to, you know, another band's agent, manager, label, whomever is friends. You know, but then again, we've gotten tours because we're friends with bands. Our first tour was with Periphery, and me and Matt, their drummer, we became friends a couple years prior, and just kind of stayed in touch because we were both drummers. You know, I really didn't listen to his band or anything. It was more, I just liked him as a person. I thought he was an awesome dude, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
Almost didn't even realize, like, the similarities of our bands, you know? I was just like, oh, whatever, he's just cool dude.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, yada, yada, yada. Life goes on, and, yeah, we end up, you know, talking about the band, becoming, like, really close, and then going on tour for the first time. And he was kind of, him and his band, you know, Periphery, were kind of the first, you know, guys to give us a chance, which was such a huge, awesome opportunity. Like, and then on that tour, we met Contortionist, who, and then became friends, and that was our next tour.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, geez, okay, this is perfect. So for a while, yeah, it was more like, oh, they're cool guys, let's tour with them, you know? And then with, you know, that momentum, that was huge. And then we got onto other things. So other bigger bands were like, oh, okay, all those guys think they're cool. Like, maybe let me take them on tour. I don't even know them. So, I mean, then we got on tour with Killswitch Engage.
Awesome.
Like, that was ridiculous.
I bet.
Between The Buried in Me, Meshuggah, Code Orange, like, it was awesome.
Yeah, Code Orange is kind of blowing up right now.
Say what?
Code Orange is kind of blowing up right now.
Oh my God, they're incredible. Have you ever seen them live?
No, I really want to.
Dude, like, anytime you can, they're such an incredible, they're just a force. Like, it's awesome. Oh my gosh, they're so good. Yeah, and they're the nicest people too.
That's awesome.
I really dug them.
Yeah, so has there been, like, you know, obviously the ball's moving in the right direction. What's kind of been the, I don't know, either the most exciting thing, or has there been a moment where you've been like, wow, I'm like, or have you met somebody that you've wanted to meet and you were like, oh, I'm tongue-tied now?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a couple moments. I won't bore you, but I'll go through actually like two or three, because there's been some really special moments that you just, yeah, you really have to stop and be like, whoa, I'm here right now. Like,
yeah, this is reality.
This is like actually happening. You know, I'm not like watching it on my phone or something.
Right.
you know, like holy hell. I think the first night, like I said before, Between the Buried and Me is probably like in the metal genre, my favorite band.
Sure.
Like most inspirational. Like, okay, heard them. I was like, damn, I need to practice. I need to get my stuff together. And the first night of their tour was in Philadelphia. So it was kind of a home show. They were playing Colors Live, 10-year anniversary of that, which was like the album that got me into really being in a band and playing this kind of music. So already that was just crazy. That was one moment where they just started playing and I was just like, oh my God, I've listened to this so many times and now it's like happening.
Right.
And it's going to happen for a month. Like, yeah. Yes, this is awesome.
That's so cool.
I'd say the next.
We had some audio technical difficulties throughout this podcast, just a few times, but this next bit, Wills discusses his experience in touring with Meshuggah in, like, there was a at the very beginning of 2018, Meshuggah did a North American tour with Code Orange and Tooth Grinder. So the band he's referencing next is Meshuggah.
Straight up, every band ever is just, you know, from then has just lifted a riff or borrowed some sort of rhythm, you know, like,
right.
They're kings. Anywho, the last night of the tour was in Los Angeles, and NAMM had just happened, the kind of gear conference that goes on, craziness every year.
Yep.
And just the amount of musicians and people in entertainment and this and that. Oh my Lord. It was just such a surreal experience, like playing, walking off stage, and then seeing like pretty much every person I've ever toured with, you know, every guy that has a signature guitar, like the guys from Tool were there. The comedian Bill Burr. It was just kind of wild. Like, oh man, Meshuggah is this incredible thing. Like, we're so lucky to be a part of, you know, this insane thing that's going on right now. They're such a respected band. Yeah. And just to see all those people from all different, you know, places in the art world, I guess, quote unquote, or whatever, you know, come together to see this band.
Are there performances at NAMM?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think there's full band, you know, I'm not sure, but I know there's like a drum, like people just go and rip drums and rip guitars all day. You know, there's like more like solo performances, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm sure bands play like at night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never been, but I hear it's just insane.
Right.
I'm almost okay with not going.
Yeah. Let's see. What's your third one?
And then the third one was probably Rock on the Range.
Okay.
That the last festival we played on the tour in Columbus, Ohio, this in May, and we had played three prior, so we kind of were already in the mood of like, okay, I know what to do. Like, you know, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know, the first two, we were just like, this is insane. We've never played outside. This is like, this stage is huge. Like, just overwhelming emotions, which is awesome, you know,
yeah,
but it's
right.
Like, whoa, this is crazy. So anywho, that was the last one of the tour. We were a little more like, okay, we got this. And our label was there. Our management was there. It was just like, the weather was perfect. It was the biggest crowd we had played to, you know, everyone was into it. It was just like, again, I stopped in the middle of, like, not in the middle of a song, but just middle of one of the
songs.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Like, yeah, just stop straight in the middle of the song. No.
Especially you.
yeah, right. I'd be like, what are you doing back there? No, like, I don't know, break the song, Justin's talking, and I just kind of looked around, took a deep breath, and was just like, wow, like, this is so awesome. It was just such a cool experience. I don't know, from obviously just growing up, going to those things, going to,
yep,
you know, around my area, there was, like, Bamboozle, Warped Tour, like, Surf and Skate. There was all this, like, awesome festivals for that kind of music in New Jersey, you know, especially growing up, Warped Tour, like all that jazz.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, festivals are great. To be playing something, it was just like, oh my God, this is the best.
That's kind of a bummer. I'm not 100% sure, but I've heard, I mean, they say that it's going to be the last Warped Tour, so.
Oh yeah. I heard that too. Yeah. That is a bummer, you know, I mean, but they've had such a solid run.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm sure something will pop up now that Warped Tour is not a thing, you know.
Definitely.
And then maybe they'll go away for a while and then come back and crush it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a break is not a bad thing, but it does seem like you guys are enjoying some much deserved kind of momentum, I guess, is the best.
It's been so awesome. Yeah, especially this last tour. This last tour really kind of showed us, like, all right, I think the band is, you know, moving in an upwards direction, which just feels awesome.
And would you say, I like to ask this usually because we also interview, like, more underground bands.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, because you've been in that position too, what would you say, you know, what's the key to trying to make it, I guess?
I mean, honestly, I'd say we're still probably pretty underground to most people. I swear every show, someone, I work merch a lot, you know.
Yeah,
I really enjoy kind of like talking to people, whatever. And every show someone's like, man, first time I ever heard of you guys, that was great. You know, so I mean, we're still underground, but
that's true. That is true.
Yeah. but yeah, I can only say for bands, you know, trying to make it, trying to hustle and, you know, make it a career, make it your, you know, your job, I guess, per se.
Yeah.
What's definitely helped me is being professional about it. If you want to be a pro, just act like it.
Sure.
You know, show up on time, you know, be polite to everyone. You might be having a bad day, but you can't let that affect other people, you know, and especially, you know, it happens on tour. My gosh, you know, an attitude is contagious in a way.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, one person having a bad day could then trickle down to a couple people having a bad day. And that's mm-hmm. not necessarily fair. You definitely, people want to work together. You have to work together. That's what, you know, the music scene is kind of about. It's not just one thing. It's the promoter. It's the band. It's the guy who's driving there. It's the merch guy. It's the light guy, the, you know, sound engineer, whatever. All those people have to work together. And I feel like if you're respectful, you're kind, you're a team player, that will get you. That's going to get you somewhere. I promise you that, you know, obviously you got to be a good band and write
right.
good songs. That's number
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
But I mean, gosh, it goes so much further than that. Yeah. And I mean, touring with Periphery for our first tour ever was a really, awesome experience because those guys are super pro. Their crew is super pro,
mm-hmm.
everything about them, you know, and that was an awesome thing to see right up front, you know, first day, like, whoa. These guys are on time. They're courteous, you know. They're not messy, you know. Their stage is really clean. It just it kept going, you know. Killswitch Engage is the same. Meshuggah, Between, gosh, all these bands. Bullet, Trivium. That you just see how pro these bands are, and it's like, okay, well, I want to be where they are. I want to work my way up to that. So let me just start acting like that, you know. Like, have all your stuff together. I don't know. You really just have to have your stuff together and
yeah.
show that you can be that pro band, you know? And I think, you know, if you put your mind to something, you'll become it.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know. That's, like, a little ridiculous to say, but I don't know. I don't think so.
No,
I think if you want it, you'll get it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like,
you
if
know?
If you want this to be your career, act like it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah act and, like it,
yeah.
you know? Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, partying is awesome, and I love it too, and whatever. But, I mean, you got to remember, you got to take that selfishness out of it and flip it and be like, there's people here to see you perform. Like, right. if you suck, like, that's not fair for them.
Yeah, and they're like, not going to want to see you.
What's going on, dude? Yeah, like, this is your one thing you had to do today for 30 yeah. minutes? Like, you couldn't hold it together? Like, come on. And again, you know, whatever. You know, that's only my point of view.
Yeah, right.
But no, for real, you know? So, I don't know. You act pro, you get treated pro.
Are you guys on a little break now from touring?
Yeah, we've been home since we got off that tour. At the end of May, we've been home since then, and it's kind of interesting. We're usually out on tour, preparing for a tour, you know, and it's awesome where we live in New Jersey. I live four houses away from the beach. So like, dude, my front yard is the Atlantic Ocean. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
You know? And so it's actually kind of awesome being home in the summer. Obviously I'm like, looking at Instagram, seeing bands playing sick festivals, being like, well, I don't want to be home. I want to be doing that.
Yeah, I want to do that too.
Yeah, I want to do that. But like, I also remind myself, like, I just got to do that. Like, I just got to do some awesome stuff. Like, you know, things have to come, you know, waves come in sets, and those don't happen all the time. but yeah, you know, it's awesome because we're home. Everyone's kind of chilling out, hanging out. We're kind of writing a little bit, which is fun to write in the summertime because I feel like usually we're playing shows in the summertime. So it's, again, not to get all far out vibey on you, but like your mindset in the summer is way different than in the winter, you know, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah.
So writing a song in the summer is totally going to come out differently than, you know, writing a song
oh,
in the
I'd
winter.
Buy that.
It's just, yeah, totally, you know. So it's actually been really fun to kind of be home and, God, lay on the beach all day and then go into the studio and kind of record something after that instead of, you know, trudging through the snow, being freezing, sitting inside in a sweatshirt and, you know, writing a real angry riff.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Yeah, it's been fun.
So we're now going to get into a couple of tracks off of Tooth Grinder's latest release, Phantom Amour. We will play for you The Shadow, followed by the title track, Phantom Amour. So here is The Shadow.
Breathing, the pattern means I didn't blow the rain. Now I hear a run, it's a massive scream, it's suicide. The shadow falls.
That was The Shadow. This is Phantom Amour.
So Nocturnal Masquerade, that was released to pretty much universal acclaim as far as, you know, I could see. Everybody was really digging on that album. I like it a lot, too. However, much different album than Phantom Amour. Did it put extra pressure on the band, the universal acclaim of the first album?
No way, you know, because that just helped. It just helped, you know, the vessel of the band move forward. And, you know, as one artist does... You know, I think if someone said Picasso had to paint flowers the rest of his life, he'd be like, well, this sucks. I hate this, you know,
and yeah, right.
just as a band does, you know, we kind of took a leap and said, oh, well, we're going to write a bunch of songs that sound like this now. So now, and which people sometimes fail to realize, in our arsenal, we have all this crazy stuff and now all this newer like rock stuff, and
yeah,
we can blend the two. And it's like, well, I don't see the harm in that at all. And it's only helped the band grow as a thing, you know. And obviously you're going to have your internet people who are going to be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've yeah ever heard.
Right.
Like,
right.
Sweet dude. That's awesome. Like, please Dropbox me your album so I can tell you the thing you worked on really hard sucks too. Like, come on, dude.
That's
like
funny.
Really? But dude, that's going to be there. I mean,
yeah,
that's the beauty of art, is it's just an opinion. It doesn't,
yeah,
it's not a calculated number. It's nothing. It's just a feeling and an opinion. So like, dude, if that's what it did to you, that's perfectly fine. And you're good to express that. That
mm-hmm
really doesn't bother me. Like anything like that doesn't bother me, because I know deep down when I listen to the album, it feels great. So it's like, that's all that really matters to me, you know? And obviously I hope other people like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I said earlier, kind of, we kind of just move towards something that felt a little better to like listen to,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And it wasn't just like technical part to part to part. It, you know, flowed a little better and just felt good. So yeah.
Yeah. I get
yeah
what you're
like
saying. You, instead
yeah
of kind of strict metalcore, you guys took a different route, and
yeah,
and I don't think you went like mainstream rock either. It's not like that.
No, I mean, dude, there's still plenty of parts where it's like, yeah, this is definitely a metal band, you know,
yeah,
but no, and it's cool because it opens that avenue for something to happen in the future. Like, you never know what's going to happen with anything. So
yeah,
it's like, why be like, nope, we're that like heavy breakdown band. That's it. That's all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I just,
well, I can imagine that, to kind of like when it translates to playing live, you're able to have more dynamics in how you
yes
organize a set. I don't know.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's been super fun too. And not to keep harping on what I've been saying before, but going on tour is such a learning experience if you let it be that. It's huge. It's amazing. And we've been so lucky, like I said, to tour with such incredible bands. So when I watch Killswitch Engage and I see their fans react to a certain thing they do
yep
live, or, you know, a specific song in the set when they play it, you really see the place just go nuts. You remember that. You take it home with you. And when you're sitting at home for 3 weeks in the summertime on the beach, you think about it. And then you go in to the studio at night and you write a riff and you're like, oh my God, that's kind of like a, like that time, like that Killswitch part,
sure, sure.
You know, and you're like, yeah, let's do that. Like, and it's fun, you know, you take little things from, well, at least I do, you know, little fun things that I see from bands, like little highlights. And I try to incorporate that in our band, you know, and it definitely helps. Like I was saying before, when you see a band that's super pro, they show up on time. It's like, oh wow, maybe I should show up on time. And they're really nice, and oh man, maybe I should be really nice.
So,
same thing with songwriting, you know?
Yeah. So to that effect, you know, you were talking about like, you know, watching other bands and seeing how fans respond to certain songs mm-hmm live. Are there ever times where your expectations are one thing and the fans do something different? You know, like, oh, I bet you they're going to go crazy at this part, but they don't at that part, but they do at a different part.
Oh yeah, definitely. Totally. Prime example. We were on some tour, I forget, recently. I think it was with Norma Jean. And we were playing Let It Ride. And Let It Ride is more like a rock song, you
definitely
know? Like, definitely more like Queens of the Stone Age-esque, like, rocker. And, you know, the chorus kicks in, and there is just this, like, insane, like, pit, like kind of circle pit, mosh pit kind of thing.
Sure.
I remember Justin looking back at me and like mid chorus kind of like giving me this big smile. We're like, I can't believe there's a mosh pit to Let It Ride right now. Like, this is crazy. Just unexpected timing.
Sure.
You know, you're just like, dude, this is awesome. Because we weren't thinking mosh pit when we wrote that one part, I'll tell you that much.
I would imagine.
It's totally cool to see it.
So what was the goal with Phantom Amour compared, you know, like what was your guys' goal going into writing that album?
I think write more song, like song-oriented songs, not just like, oh, this is a heavy banger, this is this. Like, no, we wanted to concentrate on songwriting. I feel like, you know, as you get older, and again, I can only speak for myself, as I get older, I'll say, I tend to be more interested in the song, in how the chorus happens, what the melody is, like what the hook is, more so than like, oh man, that guy's a sick guitar player. Like, right. that doesn't really, that doesn't really do it for me. I kind of really dig a good song, you know, and that's probably me just getting older, which is fine. But yeah, so I think on this album, you know, and being the drummer, I concentrated on how to make one part to the other flow and groove as best as it can. You know, I feel like I concentrated more on groove this album than ever before, than being like, oh, let me do this cool thing here and get real syncopated with this part. I was like, no, I kind of want to more just reel you in instead of, you know, be here, go over here, go over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. So I feel like we accomplished that, you know, as a whole and individually.
Agree.
You know,
no, I like, I like how different sonically both the albums are. If you're going for more of like the technical metalcore, death metal, whatever you want to call it, if you're going for more of that, you know, listen to your first album.
If
you're going
for
kind of this, I don't know, kind of gray area between rock and metal vibe that you guys have going on the second album, I feel like there's a lot of good jams on there. And then you, I'm trying to think of Adenium. I really like that song.
Oh, you know, that's awesome, man. We do too. We really love that song. And it's so cool because that was one of them when we were in the studio when we're like, dude, this one feels so good. But like, I don't know how it's going to translate to your quote unquote tooth grinder fan or new fan of the band that maybe only heard, you know, the House of Fear built. And they hear Adenium and they're like, do the little puppy dog head turn, like, what? Like, what's going on? You know, but no, dude, I'm so psyched that you said that, because, we've been practicing. We have one show, like, we have a hometown show coming up, which is super fun, because we have, like, one a year, maybe, and we actually have one coming up, and we said, like, we looked at each other, and we're like, we got to play Adenium. You know, we got to play some stuff off the album, like the newest one, and
yeah,
that's
definitely
on the list, and it's so cool. Yeah, I dig that song a lot.
Yeah, it's got a good, I don't know, for some reason there's just some good catharsis there for me when I listen to them. Like, this just feels nice. I feel like I'm releasing something.
Yes, man, dude, exactly. You know, and Phantom Amour does that for me, the title track of the album.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one where when I listen to it or when I play it, you know, I'm like slamming my drums. It feels so good. Yeah, I don't know. And that's awesome. That's good. I'm so happy that you say that, because that's literally what we were kind of going for in the studio. Like, gosh, it just feels good to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing something for me. So that's so cool. That's so cool that you say that. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. You know, if you ever need to hear more of that stuff, just shoot me a text and all.
Yeah. Be like, dude, how about Heavy? What'd you think of that one?
I do have one other dimension.
So
Jubilee, I like that song a lot too. Did you view that as one that people were going to be like, what the hell is this?
Absolutely. And that, I think, is why we did it even more. And fun fact, you know, there was an acoustic song that was supposed to be on Nocturnal Masquerade.
Sure.
But it got kind of cut like last minute. So this time around, we were like, dude, we still want to do that, you know? And it's not the same song. We went in and did a totally new song. You know, if people think that's crazy, you know, on their loving straight up shreddy metal album, there was supposed to be one on that, you know? So little did they know. I think, you know, as we were recording it, as we made the decision of like, yep, acoustic song, we knew that it was going to be just so crazy and out there. And yeah, that's totally why we wanted to do it as well.
has there been anything like any fans, or has anybody been, you know, reached out to you upset about, like, this isn't the tooth grinder I know?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm absolutely sure, yeah. That, like, and like that, that's what I was saying before. It's so funny, man. Like, I love that something that someone creates, like, creates this emotion in someone else, you know? And mm-hmm. it's like someone created this for a positive reason, and it's having such a negative effect on someone. It's such a funny, crazy thing that happens in life. And I feel like if you let that get to you, you're wasting your dang time. Cause right. like, I honestly use that as fuel to be like, cool, we're reaching a vast majority of people. If we're getting the haters and the lovers, I love that. Like, sign me up, man. That's when you know you're creating something that is causing an effect, I think, you know? And whether positive or negative, obviously I don't want it to be negative, even though, like, oh, your band sucks now. Like, even though that's a negative, it's not really a negative. I don't really care. That's yeah. not, you know, I don't want to be creating a negative kind of thing, as in, like, we did something bad, you know, obviously.
Right.
but yeah, no, I bring it on, man. Yeah, like, and like I said before, if an artist is told to do one thing forever, they're going to get bored and it's going to be stale. So why not change up everything all the time and keep it interesting for yourself as an artist? And I guess that's selfish. But then I feel like as a listener, do you really want to hear the same thing all the time? For me, that gets boring. I've lost interest in bands because they've just, you know, created the same thing. Although maybe I don't love it, now being in a band, I can respect it way more, being like, oh, I get why they wrote that song, because they don't want to write the same song.
Right.
It's fun for them to play that acoustic song. You know, it's fun yep. For them to play that heavy, heavy, crazy, ridiculous song. Like, I get it now. It totally makes sense. You know, you've got to keep it interesting for yourself. And yeah, some people are not going to dig it, but I think a larger group of people will. And that's what's happened with this album. Yeah, I'm sure some people have fell off, but we've gained tenfold.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like, I don't want to be a jerk and be like, whatever, but I can't let that negativity stop me or change my point of, you know, or not my point of view, that's not the right thing to say, but change my, like, oh, I don't want to then now write this rock song. It's like, hell no, that rock song feels great. I definitely want to write it. You know, like, I'm not going to let skater guy 49 bum me out.
Right.
Like, it's all good, dude. Like, no problem. Just, how about you stop listening to it?
Yeah, no, I think you got the right attitude about it. And trust me, like, I've been a huge Metallica fan for years, so
yeah,
obviously that's a band that's taken some chances and got a shit ton totally. Of criticism because they're big, but
yeah. And I mean, dude, Babe Ruth didn't get up every time and hit a home run. He did strike out sometimes, so you're not gonna win yeah. all of them. 100%. It's impossible. You're only human.
So you had this quick turnaround. Nocturnal Masquerade 2016, Phantom Amour was 2017. Are we going to expect the same kind of turnaround for your next album, or are you guys going to let some time, you know, let it breathe a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're probably going to let it breathe a little bit, although we're constantly writing. You know, like I said before, again, I don't mean to keep going back, but everything kind of does relate to itself, you know, in a timeline. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
every time we go on tour and come home, I personally get so inspired by the bands and the people that we tour with that I go home and I'm like, okay, let me work on, like, let me make the art for the t-shirts better. Let me try and write better songs, yada, 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 this and that. So yeah, we're constantly writing, and I think, yeah, we're going to take a little more time and kind of, again, probably change up the style a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
dig deeper into either side. Like, you know, not to say what, like, release any secrets, but yeah, we've definitely demoed out some new songs, and there's one that's way heavier than anything that's been on Nocturnal. And then there's something that's super rocking, kind of like Phantom. So it's like, yeah, we're always going to have that back and forth, you know,
yeah, definitely
teeter totter, but yeah. Yeah, and I think we're going to take our time a little bit more with the, because it's your third album, you know, I feel like we're getting, like, a little more mature, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but it was fun. I feel like you know, when you're a new band, you in a way kind of have to be on everyone's mind in the very beginning all the time.
That is true.
And not to say we've gained any sort of ground, but, you know, I think with two albums out now, we can then, I don't want to say pump the brakes because that's not the right thing to say, but slow down and now be like, okay, let's pick a tour that's really great instead of being like, yes, 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 yes to everything. Yeah, you know, I don't know. You just, I don't, it's hard to explain.
No, it's a marathon.
Like,
it's not a sprint.
Exactly.
You know?
Good call. Yes, it is totally a marathon. And now we're in the part where we've just been going for a little bit. We're like, ooh, let's take that mile to, you know, do some breathing exercises and chill out.
There you go. I got one question for you. This is kind of, not totally off topic, but
no.
So on your albums, you kind of have this imagery of the elephant with the antlers. Yeah. I know you've been asked this a million times, but where does that come from?
So we named that character Jubilee. So it actually has a name.
Awesome.
And if you can kind of tell from all of our albums, the word Jubilee, the name, whatever, has kind of been intertwined in almost all of them.
Sure.
So, you know, we kind of created that character on Vibration Color Frequency, which was the last, one of two DIY EPs. That was the second of them right before we got signed. And we created that image as kind of an image of that song almost, you know, Vibration Color Frequency. It was this 17-minute song that was a mashup of all these different feelings and emotions and I guess genres and yada, 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 you know, into this one massive beast of a thing. So the imagery of it's an elephant with these big horns, and on the original, the eyes are actually wolf eyes.
Okay.
And it was just this cool thing. And when we got signed, actually, that was a thing that, you know, label and management kind of gravitated towards. They're like, we really love this. Like, this is kind of like an Iron Maiden Eddie or like,
that's what I was thinking.
You know, like, or like the Motorhead symbol.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty sweet. Like, we should keep this going. And which was kind of awesome because the band really loved it too. And it was kind of a fun thing. Like, I really enjoy that. Like, when bands kind of have a...
Oh, I love it.
Symbol. Yeah, I think it's awesome, you know?
Yeah, I have... Megadeth has Vic Rattlehead, and I have him tattooed on
totally.
Me. You know,
exactly. And that thing is so badass, you know? And it's just cool when you see it. You see it, and it reminds you of that, and it's something completely separate from the band, but it's completely relatable to the band. It's so cool, you know?
So are you saying that Jubilee is going to kind of be... featured maybe on more album covers, or
I think so. Yeah, I honestly, and I hope so. And that goes, you know, that's a question for the entire band and everything. But
yeah, right.
But yeah, you know, I dig it. I think we can kind of play off of it, you know, because I love kind of changing it around a little bit. And if I don't know if we'll keep this going, but if you look at Vibration Color Frequency to Nocturnal Masquerade to Phantom of More,
yeah,
Jubilee the character actually, like, gets older,
okay,
which is kind of fun because it follows the progression of the band as, you know, as humans, we're getting older and we're maturing. So we kind of have that representation on Jubilee, which is pretty cool and super nerdy, but I love it.
No, I dig it.
I think it's kind of cool, you know, because it's not the same thing, but it is, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it's ever something that you would, you know, how Eddie and Vic, how they actually brought them out on stage. Would it ever be a stage character?
I had this wild, wild idea on the first album, Nocturnal Masquerade. If some of the album art, if you open it, there's more characters, you know, and there's these hybrid animal heads. There's like this like bat wolf thing, like a goat with these horns, a gorilla, an owl, and I thought I had this wild idea, and it never happened because it's ridiculous, and we're not Ghost or we're not Iron Maiden yet.
Sure.
You know, but I thought it would be really cool if we had these, you know, animal heads almost made And we don't have $1 million as well, which I realized. But yeah. Anywho, I'm going to tell you the idea anyway. Have these animal heads made, and like 5 minutes, 10 minutes before we went on, and you know, this would be a little more difficult if we weren't like headlining or opening. It would be hard to do this in the middle of the show, but whatever. Have like people dressed with these like masks on, almost with like cloaks or like whatever, something crazy on, and like the lights go down and they kind of walk through the crowd almost like it's like starting like a ceremony or something. Oh, yeah, really weird.
Yeah.
And almost like a like and I know this sounds wacky, but when I was younger, my grandparents were really into to Broadway plays. Yep. So I got to see like I got to go to awesome rock concerts and like punk shows, but then I also got to go to Broadway plays, and when the actors like we're in the crowd, like, I mean, Cats, for example, you know, like that's an insane Broadway show. And when they go through the crowd, you know, and the lights are dim, it's just this whole other experience, you know, besides a loud guitar through an amp. It's this weird experience. And I thought that would be kind of neat to tie the album together. And again, you know, maybe moving on in the future, we could kind of do it again and maybe with the budget get it done. But right, I always thought that would be such a fun thing, you know, like to incorporate the album art with the visual of the show. But yeah, like have this, you know, this Jubilee creature almost be like, whoa, it's this like crazy thing. I don't know. It would be neat.
No, I think it sounds awesome.
It would be really cool. And again, super far out, but
far out, but still it adds some uniqueness to the show for sure.
Totally. Yeah. Almost like Guar meets Cats.
Yeah. You have to spray people with something too then.
Yeah. Oh man.
So
I guess with it being an elephant, use the trunk, right?
There yeah. You got, you have the hose right
Figured
there.
Figured it out. That was easy.
So you mentioned Broadway plays.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Any other, no, it's not like that. Any other, anything else other than music that kind of any other media, I should say, other than music and the Broadway plays that really has inspired you, like maybe movies or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. In a huge, huge way. Again, I can only say this for myself. You know, me personally, I am super into art, like in all facets. My dad's a painter. So like I'm talking oil, watercolor, sketching, anything. He's a really good artist. So that kind of, you know, inspired me to do the same. So I really love art. I just got a camera. So I've been taking a lot of photos and doing a lot of video stuff. And that's really inspired me too. And it's funny. I find when I focus my energy on something that's not the drums and writing a song for the band, you know, say it's like photography or video, I find when I come back to the drums, I'm really inspired and I really work super hard, you know, and it's like fresh to create something. So yeah, I feel like that's really important for any artist who, you know, is grinding away at one specific thing to step away and kind of do that with something else. So it makes, when you go back, you know, like you didn't beat it to death. So yeah, I'm super inspired.
Yeah, no.
And I know Justin is as well, like when he writes lyrics from movies or poems or books, you know, he's a big reader. So he reads books all the time and is super inspired by that. And I think that, you know, translates into his lyrics and into his delivery and what he writes about, how he writes, which really, really cool. He's super talented.
No, he definitely is. He a lot of different vocal styles that he brings to the table too.
Oh yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love hearing that.
That being said, it sounds like you guys just got a lot of cool shit and, you know, you're trying to progress and not do the same thing, not only with your albums, but with the live show and everything else. So that's awesome. That's really cool to hear. Cause I mean, I'm one of the guys that likes, you know, and when I get into a band, I like them to always be trying to challenge themselves and do new things on each project they put themselves into.
Totally.
So it's great that you fit that bill.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. At this part of the, usually towards kind of the end of the interview here, we like to do some lightning round questions. So Just going to be some quick and easy questions. Just kind of saying like the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, nice. This should be fun.
And, but before we do that, I wanted to give you the opportunity to plug or tease or whatever, anything you want.
Cool.
So, where can people find you guys and anything on the horizon that Tooth Grinder fans should be looking out for?
Yeah, yeah. If you're looking to check out anything with the band, obviously we are on all sorts of social media platforms that you can get on your phone or your computer. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Oh my gosh, videos on YouTube. If you're lazy and don't want to go to shows, which is crazy, Google it. Shows. Tooth Grinder Live. Watch us play live and then have that change your mind and be like, oh man, that looks like fun. We were just in the studio when we did a cover song.
Ooh.
Which is kind of fun.
Awesome.
I'm not going to tell you what, but I think we're going to, you know, do something with it, which is kind of fun. Never done anything like that before.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. What else? Tours always in talks, so that I'm sure the fall coming up should be an exciting one. But yeah, writing new record. But we're always posting stuff. I like to kind of go through tour and collect photos, and when we don't have anything going on, post photos from like a tour just to remind people like, hey y'all, still here.
We're still alive.
Yep, on social media, find it like everybody else in this world.
Yeah, it's kind of become the new norm, hasn't it?
Yep, 100%.
All right, let's do this. Let's do the lightning round. You ready?
Cool, ready.
Okay, what's the last song you listened to?
Whew, the first song on the newest Portugal the Man album. I forget the name of it, but it rules.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I've heard from him before. He does, he has like a cool bigger band. Song.
Yeah, Feel It Still, I think. Yes. Won a Grammy, yep. which is on that album. Yeah, I just love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. Pretty original.
Hell yeah.
Favorite holiday?
4th of July, because you can go to the beach all day.
Yes, and you get to see the fireworks.
And you can grill awesome food.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, fireworks.
Place you most want to travel?
You know, since I've never been, I'm just going to say Europe, because I hope the band takes me there.
That'd be great. Yeah, you know? I'm sure. I've heard it's great for rock and metal in Europe.
Me too, you know, and we've toured a lot around the U.S., and it's awesome and super beautiful. And like you said, I hear it's really great over there, so I would love to visit.
First celebrity crush.
Oof. That I can remember, probably Cameron Diaz in The Mask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
dude,
I can relate to
babe.
That. Slayer or Megadeth?
Oh, Slayer.
Slayer all day.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
Star Wars, for sure.
Do you have a reason why?
Really never watched Lord of the Rings too much. Like, I'm not like a Star Wars nerd, but I definitely love watching like the new ones and the old ones. I think they all are just super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just like them better.
No, works for me, man. Mm-hmm. All right, Wills, that about wraps it up for us. Thank Sweet. You so much for taking the time, man. It was awesome.
Oh,
great to hear
dude,
your perspective.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And good luck to Tooth Grinder. I mean, we've been fans of you guys, I think, since when I first heard you guys, it was, what song did I hear right away? It may have actually been Red or Phantom Armor, Amor, excuse
oh,
me.
Sick.
Can't remember which.
Hell yeah.
And I didn't even know you guys had, so actually, Phantom Amor was the first album I heard by you guys, and then I went back.
Oh, rad. Okay, cool.
But I think, Michael, you listened to them on their first album, right?
Yeah, I think Blue was the first song.
Yeah, so.
Okay, yeah. A lot of people have heard Blue first. That was probably the gem of Nocturnal Masquerade for sure.
Sure, absolutely. Well,
we
anyway, good luck to you guys, and thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
We'd like to thank Wills again for being on the podcast. He was a great guest, and we enjoyed having him. Wonderful conversation. So we will play you out with a couple more Tooth Grinder songs. In this case, we will start with Vagabond and then go into Adenium. So here is Vagabond. You know I want you dead. You took away my best years. I thought you were my friend.
wasn't for the late nights, if it wasn't for the
final track we have for you today. This is Adenium.
Your face.